Welcome to Fellowship Talks, your weekly connection to the life and ministry of Fellowship Bible Church. It is our desire that this podcast will reinforce your worship on Sundays and encourage you as you live your life for Christ this week. Here are your hosts, Dan Schaefer and Amy Scrivanos.
Well, welcome back, Fellowship Podcasters. My name is Dan, and I'm here with Amy.
Hey, guys.
Welcome, Amy. It's good to have you this morning and to be with you. So our hope, just for any first-time listeners out there with the podcast, just wanted to talk about our hope for this podcast again. Our hope for this podcast is that you would be able to connect with the life of fellowship here, the way you worship on Sunday and the rest of your week, and how you live out your faith in a daily context. So we're just really excited to be able to bring you this podcast and to talk about how our faith matches up with Sunday and how we live out each and every day after that through the week. So this week we're getting ready to start a new podcast, right, Amy? A new series?
A new series, that's right. So today we're kicking off our first series on the podcast. For the next 4 weeks, we're going to be joining with Fellowship in the conversation about membership and why it matters. So we're going to be talking to some of our elders and pastors about their personal experiences with the church and why they think these things are important for us to talk about together.
Yeah, so one thing we want to consider together is why our church matters in our lives. So, Amy, why don't you start? Why do you and Marty have your family here at Fellowship?
You know, Fellowship has been really a blessing in our lives. As we've been here now, well, Marty's been here most of his life, and for me, I've been here almost 20 years, and what we've seen here is that the Bible is taught clearly. It's taught as God's word, and the gospel is preached, and we're encouraged to live out our faith in community with one another. We have a lot of opportunities to grow here, and it's been a great place to encourage us.
Yeah, that's a lot. They're very similar with us. You know, Emily and I are here at Fellowship really because Marty and Amy are here. We really like them and we want to be with them. No, just kidding. So the first time we walked in the doors of Fellowship, we were impressed with the gospel and how that was preached and proclaimed on Sunday and how it actually was lived out in the lives of people here. We were invited into a D group almost right away. And we jumped in, and we've experienced the love and the just gospel interaction with other people here at this church. And so this is our church home because we feel that we're on mission with the other people here at this church.
Yeah, that's good. You know, I think even this membership conversation, too, is one of those examples for me of one of the things I love about Fellowship is that it's always been a church that doesn't shy away from talking about hard things. And sometimes some of these conversations can be hard for people. They, you know, they're things that we aren't clear about or whatever. And Fellowship's just done a great job over the years of, you know, the Bible is our foundation and God's word, but not shying away then from those hard topics.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. So, well, enough about us, Amy. We have Rick Hatfield here sitting with us, and he's one of our elders here at Fellowship. He's been involved in the membership class over the last couple of years. We're excited to have him here with us kicking off this series. Welcome, Rick.
Thanks. Glad to be here.
So, Rick, let's just start off. Can you tell us, for people that don't know you here at Fellowship, can you tell us a little bit about yourself, about your family?
Absolutely. So, my wife and I have been here, I guess, about 18 years, 1999. When we first came to the church, we were child-free, and we actually just celebrated 24 years of marriage, and we actually have three daughters now, one a senior this year, one a freshman, and one a sixth grader. So our family has pretty much always been at Fellowship. I think for similar reasons that you guys expressed when we relocated to Little Rock, we were looking to grow in the gospel, visited a couple of churches, came to Fellowship. Really, I came with some kind of presuppositions about what the church was about because some of my friends in college and before we moved here had thoughts about Fellowship. So I thought we were going to visit one time and that was going to be it. Mm. But I was kind of captured by the by the preaching initially, and we continued to come. Back then, we went almost immediately into discovery after a few weeks and had our D group, our community group, formed out of that.
So what's discovery?
Well, back then, it was kind of the welcome to fellowship, get fellowship next is
okay,
what it is now.
Gotcha. Yeah.
So we kind of learned the history of fellowship, and then they just said, oh, by the way, you've been here for, I don't remember if it was 4 weeks, but everybody that's been here, this is your community group. And so we were kind of like, ugh, that's awkward. We don't know these people. And looking back, that was probably one of our best community groups. I mean, we lasted as a group for about 7 years until mm-hmm. some people moved and life changes. So, but fast forward to today, I'm a lay elder here, have been for a little over 2 years, have been involved pretty extensively, you know, really since the early part of coming to fellowship and leading community groups and serving in different capacities in the church and just kind of trying to grow in the gospel. Now, I probably wouldn't have used those terms, you know, mm-hmm. 10 years ago.
Right.
But as I look back at how God's kind of orchestrated things and been initiating in my life, that's what's been going on.
Yeah.
And I really kind of love the explicit way we say that now.
Yeah.
Because I think it makes me and others kind of ask some questions about, okay, what are we saying? And am I believing it, not just in my head, but kind of in my heart?
Yeah. That's good, Rick. You know, one of the things that I've observed with your family is that you've been involved with mission trips here at Fellowship, and you guys have gone to Guatemala a few times. Tell me a little bit about that. What keeps you guys going back to Guatemala?
Well, I mean, several things. I mean, we love the people. We love Daniel and Odie, who, you know, the Brands, who now live in Little Rock, which is awesome because we get to see them more than 1 week a year. But I think initially, Barb and I started several years ago trying to find ways to teach our children and give them experiences outside of typical West Little Rock. Mm-hmm. Because I think for them and for us, it's real easy in a go-getter, type A, air quotes, successful group of people we run with, church we go to just kind of think things work and God's a part of things working.
Mm-hmm.
And so we started doing some things and trying to expose our children to, you know, Tyler Street Ministry, seeing some people there maybe a little different than what they see every day. We were for a couple years helping with a thing, feeding homeless under the bridge of Broadway.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely sparked some great conversation about why does God allow some people to be homeless, some not.
Mm-hmm.
And then we decided to take a family mission trip. Didn't really know it was going to become an annual event, but it seems to have done that. And just we see God working. We see his sovereign hand as a worldwide, global God. I've always believed that, but we've really had an opportunity to see that through the mission trip. You just get out of your routine. You have to really kind of trust God because the mission trip's not the same every year. We've gotten to know some other families
yeah.
on a really deeper level.
Yeah.
Some have gone all 3 years that we've gone with us, and then each year there's been a portion of the group that's been new, if you will, and that's just been special.
I love your intentionality there.
Yeah.
As a young parent, just thinking about how to help shape my kids' view of the bigger world around them more than just where they live and where they come to church, and just trying to think through intentionally. So I love what you've done with that and
yeah.
just helping your kids.
We just felt like it was so easy to get caught up in. I mean, you can talk about it and your children can nod their head and agree, but there's something about actually engaging and then they really have to ask some hard questions and see.
Right.
I mean, things don't always work out the way we would want them to work out. And as our kids get older, they'll have their own experiences. Even as believers in a first world country, things are not going to work out.
Right.
But yeah. thankfully, we haven't had a lot of those hard things personally in their young lives, but we wanted them to begin to understand that. And I think that develops their trust and belief.
That's good. That's good. So we're starting session one of membership, our series here at Fellowship called Together. And interesting that we start with the gospel. Session one is all about the gospel. When we're talking about membership here at Fellowship, why are we starting with a session about the gospel?
Well, I think most churches would say that the gospel is foundational. Most good churches anyway. But I think for us, as we talk about membership and look to have our members, you know, think intentionally about what we're about, we really need to push it all back to the gospel, to the fact that we were in need of a Savior with no ability to save ourselves. God moved in our hearts as believers, and that's not a one-time, okay, justified, move forward, but it's an ongoing recognition of and remembrance of that truth, and then living out of that every day. So I think we just have to be, we cannot remind ourselves too often of the gospel, mm-hmm. and what it's done. And as you begin to think that way and talk to others and in your D groups and support areas, you start to have to ask some more hard questions about life, because you believe this as the gospel, you know, being of first importance, and life can sometimes still be difficult, and reconciling that and trusting God in that is key, mm-hmm. to moving forward and growing. And so I think it's the right mm-hmm. place to start.
Yeah. Amy, I think it's really important for us to clarify what we mean when we say the gospel, right? What is the gospel? Mm-hmm. And just clarify that just a little bit. And I think we can easily do that by looking at a passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The first few verses there, Paul writes, he says, "For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures." And I think knowing those three things explains the gospel. Christ died for our sins, he was buried, and he was raised again to life. And a lot of times I ask people when I'm talking with them, either in D group or just kind of around Little Rock, why are you a Christian? And so what would you say, Amy? Why are you a Christian?
Yeah, you know, I like the way that Rick phrased that, of God did a work in our heart that Christ died for us, but God drew us to himself and revealed that truth to us, that Christ had died for our sins and he was raised to life. And so I'm thankful that God has allowed me to see that and to accept mm-hmm. that. And so, yeah, just to mm-hmm. follow him in that.
Yeah. The gospel means good news, right,
mm-hmm.
Rick?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah. And there's no better news than Jesus Christ rising from the dead.
Absolutely. Especially if you understand the bad news of your predicament.
Exactly.
Which I grew up in an era of, I think, converts were very important,
mm-hmm. okay,
rather than discipleship. And maybe that may be too harsh of a distinction, but I think that was kind of the goal growing up, was preach the word, help people see their need, and, quote, get them saved.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't just stop there, but I felt like, looking back, there wasn't as much intentionality about what the life of a believer looks like after mm-hmm. you kind of recognize your sin through God mm-hmm. showing you and you become a believer. So I just love our intentionality around talking about really discipleship, and part of being a disciple of Christ is growing deeper in that reality. Mm-hmm. And so how does that meet with me as a husband, as a father, as a friend, as a businessman, as I interact with those in the community, and God continues to, you know, gently show me when I'm missing the mark, mm. remind me that he is sufficient in all things, even if family's rocky, or even if a business deal's not going the way I want it to go,
mm-hmm.
He's still sufficient.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't just believe that one time and then life work.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so you explained that good news. Right, the gospel is good news, and you said we, in order to embrace the good news of the gospel, we have to understand the bad news, right? So, how have you explained that to your daughters, even as they've been growing up?
Well, just as we look at the Bible and as we talk about, what it means to be a believer, as my kids have had questions or whatever, we always try to talk about and show in Scripture and, you know, Ephesians 2, the Bible says we're all dead, okay? Mm-hmm. You're all sinners, you're dead. The Bible talks about having a heart of stone, and if, you know, I'm fairly sarcastic, so forgive me, but dead people don't move.
Mm-hmm.
So God mm-hmm. moved on me and on my wife and on my children, praise Him, to awaken a dead heart. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's all kinds of history of Jesus doing that. I mean, physically doing that to Lazarus, mm-hmm. also doing it Himself. And then that's how He moves on us. So we're born into sin. We're all, you know, descendants of Adam. You don't just decide one day, okay, I'm going to clean myself up and be good now and follow the Lord.
Yeah. So He's really the one bringing life. You know, one of the verses we have in the membership booklet is John 10:10. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. And that's something we talk about with our kids too, just that Christ has come to give us life. Like, right. I think sometimes people, when they're talking about following Jesus, it, to them, it sounds like a lot of rules and things they have to do, and that we miss that He has come to set us free, to give us mm-hmm. life in Him.
Yeah,
yeah.
I know I do. Sometimes we'll settle for a created thing rather than pursuing the greater Creator,
mm-hmm.
And I think we can sometimes do that with the gospel too. Settle for, I believe I'm going to heaven and not going to hell, rather than pressing into the gospel deeper every day to get real joy.
Mm-hmm.
Because
mm-hmm.
you can still have real joy in the midst of life, and life is not always joyful.
Mm-hmm.
We have sickness, we have death, we have complications and, you know, thorns and thistles,
yeah.
In making a living. So chasing after that real joy is a distinction, and it's worth it. Mm-hmm. You know, when you do that, the Lord is faithful to bring you along, even when you're not really that faithful.
Yeah, that's a good point. A lot of times when we talked about being saved or not saved, people are referencing, well, am I going to heaven or am I going to hell?
Mm-hmm.
But it's so much more than that. We're talking about a life lived knowing and experiencing who Jesus is. I had an interesting question for either one of you guys, really, is, do you remember any conversations that you've had with your kids where you just tried to explain some of this to them, just that life abundantly with who Jesus is? And maybe you could tell us a little bit about how that conversation went.
Yeah, we've had several conversations about that. Sometimes right now with the age of my daughters, it could be around maybe if they're having difficulty in friendship, or maybe not finding the group of friends they want, or whatever that might be. We try to point them to satisfaction in Christ and why we need to chase that and understand. And that's real easy to say. It's hard to do as an adult, much less as a child that's growing in their faith. But, you know, if we really can trust the sufficiency of Christ and believe that, you know, His ways are better and He's sovereign, then that can give me, anyway, and I try to impart it on my kids, some perspective. And one of my favorite pastors outside Fellowship is Matt Chandler down in Texas, and he says, you know, if you think 5,000 years from now, if we believe in eternity, or 50,000 years from now, that kind of shrinks this moment, this mm-hmm. difficulty.
Yeah.
You know, when Paul talks about this light and momentary difficulty or challenge that he had, and you think about, I mean, Paul was stoned, Paul was mm-hmm. run out of town, Paul was shipwrecked. Those are certainly in the moment not light and momentary.
And isn't that the reminder we all need, is to step back and have that perspective?
Right. So we try to talk about it mm-hmm. with our girls in that way, and sometimes it helps. Sometimes, you know, they might roll their eyes and think I'm just, you know, whatever, Dad.
But. Yeah. Well, Rick, one of the discussion questions in the book is, in what ways has your understanding of the gospel been more about head knowledge rather than a daily relationship with Jesus? How have you seen this in your life?
Well, I think, you know, I became a believer as a young child, and as I mentioned earlier, kind of in a conversion I guess the group that I was with when I became a believer were about conversions, and it was a great experience, and I believe it was authentic, but I didn't have a whole lot of then support going forward. And so I tried to gain knowledge. I tried to be in my Bible and youth group and FCA and different things, but I didn't really understand the distinction between my efforts to do that and coming alongside and trusting the grace of God to help fuel me. So I spent a lot of years in frustration of doing things well for a while, and then, you know, falling into sin or backsliding or whatever term you want to use, and then feeling shameful, and then start over. And, you know, whereas when it began to take hold of my heart and I began to understand moving, you know, this knowledge from my head to my heart and trying to live and embrace the gospel, then not that sin went away, but just my approach to battling sin and the fuel for battling sin was not only my effort. It was trust and belief, and it just kind of changes things. So then trying to encourage other men, encourage my family in that, it just sparks some great conversation. I think it makes me be more intentional about my faith rather than just, I'm a believer, I know I'm saved, but like, how do I do this every day, even when the day maybe is not at all going according to my plan?
What have you found? What are some things that help you do this every day?
I just think what helps me do it every day? I think, you know, regularly being in Scripture, but beyond that, trying to take thoughts captive, trying to process life, process, you know, real estate through a gospel view, process parenting through a gospel view, recognizing when I don't, and going back to those that I interact with, whether it's a business associate or a loved one, a family member, and apologizing. But also just having a community of believers, of men that I do life with, and we can just talk about, you know, life is not good right now, and I believe this, but I'm struggling with it, and you know, and just having other folks to come alongside, because if you're like me, I can often diagnose somebody else's deal pretty easily, but then when you're trying to do it on yourself, sometimes that's challenging, or you want to believe, well, yeah, but they don't know what, you know, my problems are, what, however we, you know, manipulate the situation in our head. And so having somebody that knows you well, you know, being known, and they can speak into you and say, you know, you're not believing what's true, and here's what's true.
That's good. This is coming back to community. I think that's why Fellowship is calling this series Together, because we need to be together in community as we walk through all of life. We're talking about the gospel, and as we look forward to talking with Jim Hudson a little bit next week about being transformed in the gospel and what that means. Rick, we just want to say thanks for being here with us today and talking through some of this stuff with us, explaining the gospel. And I think it's really important, Amy, as we go, just to remember that the gospel is the good news of what Jesus has done for us. He has saved us from our sins. And in order to understand that good news, we have to come face to face with where we were or who we are apart from God, and that we're dead in our sins and in our trespasses. And we have no hope of having relationship with God except for Jesus. So all you who are listening to this podcast, we want to thank you for listening today. As always, if you have questions, send your questions to fellowshiptalks@fellowshiponline.com. We'd love to hear your questions, especially around this series. What kind of conversations are you having with your D group around this series? We want to know some of that and hear some of that, and we'll share that with you guys as you listen through this. So let us know how what you think of this Together series that we're doing together. So, Amy, until next time, I'm Dan.
And I'm Amy.
As you go, this is Fellowship Talks.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Fellowship Talks. We hope this podcast will help you be a more effective disciple of Jesus Christ as you love God and you love others in your daily context. Fellowship Bible Church exists to make disciples who live by God's grace and for His glory at home and across the world.